Support from viewers like you makes this program possible. Please give to your PBS station.
Explore new worlds and new ideas through programs like this. Made available for everyone through contributions to your PBS station from viewers like you. Thank you.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
Hi, I'm Michael Keaton. When I started out in show business, one of my first jobs was working at WQED, the public television station in Pittsburgh, often on the set of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Who can forget Fred coming through the front door, putting on a cardigan sweater, feeding the fish, or showing films on Picture Picture? Sometimes I was the young kid who flipped the switch to start the little red trolley that took you in and out of the neighborhood of make-believe. That's where you saw a colorful world filled with puppets, Daniel Striped Tiger, King Friday, Henrietta Pussycat, X the Isle, and so many others. The first national program in 1968 featured a small cast, simple sets, and live music. And over the years, nothing really changed, especially Fred Rogers.
Hi, neighbor. We could make believe that Tony Bennett comes to Lady Elaine's museum-go-round television studio. Let's make believe about that now, right?
It's you I love.
Uh-huh.
It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now, the way down deep inside you, not the things that hide you.
I remember seeing Tony Bennett on Fred Rogers when my first son was about 3 years old. Growing up, maturing is all a process of overcoming insecurity, and that's the essence of that song. He's helping kids like themselves by singing, "It's You I Like."
Now I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling low, that it's you I like, it's you yourself, it's you. That's right. It's you I like.
Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett, right here with us.
Fred Rogers did so much with music in a very gentle way on his show, introducing kids for the first time.
I'd like to show you something. It's some trumpet music that Wynton Marsalis played one day when he was practicing. So what do you say? Let's just go to Negri's Music Shop right now.
To some people, Mr. Rogers seemed like television's biggest nerd. I mean, the sweater and those tennis shoes. But to me, he was one of the coolest men on the planet. Mr. Rogers welcomed so many musical guests to the neighborhood. And one of my favorite memories is when Mr. Rogers met Wynton Marsalis. Wynton was only in his 20s and so amazing. And it reminds me that Mr. Rogers was one hip cat.
I'd like you to know my television neighbor, Wynton Marsalis.
How you doing?
When did you start to play? When you were a little boy?
I got my first trumpet when I was 6 years old.
Six. I know there are a lot of children who might want to learn the trumpet.
You have to have strong lungs.
Yeah.
I guess 5 or 6 is a good age to start. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a matter of practicing every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Wynton Marsalis was just amazing. He kicked it off and we all started playing some blues. About 4 choruses in, I could see the smile on his face. He said, okay, I'm in the right place here, you know.
The Wynton Marsalis piece was an amazing moment in TV history, but for me it meant a lot because my grandfather was this guy named Bobby Shadd who produced jazz. I didn't really know what jazz was. I didn't understand the different types of music. So, you know, one of the few ways I could begin to understand how cool my grandfather was how much Mr. Rogers loved jazz.
Oh, what a treat. That's a real way to talk with each other, isn't it?
Sure, yeah, it is.
Exactly. And play.
I've heard so many people tell me, I was real little and that kind of got me that introduced me to jazz and it became my favorite kind of music.
Fred Rogers assumed the responsibility to be a model and to be a mentor for all of us young kids.
Oh, hello, Fred.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Fine.
Just brought my piano with me.
I noticed that. Hi, Joe.
Brought his own piano.
I was telling him about some of your instruments that look like toys, but they're not really toys.
Yes, here's a train whistle. This is a big train. There's a siren whistle here.
You'd see how kids would love this. Like, this is, it's not, you know, it's a weird instrument, and it's
made. What about this one?
Well, that's another whistle. That's a songbird whistle.
Oh, I love this. It's the one where if you blow really, really hard, it makes the.
A little bit harder. That's it.
Go ahead. Look at the joy on his face.
Oh, I like that.
Fred, you sound just like a bird.
Yeah. That's right.
He doesn't care how it looks, and that's why he always looks awesome. Because he's willing to be vulnerable, he's willing to be open and learn stuff. It was inspiring.
It matters to have grown-ups say that it's okay to do all these things, even to play the piano like a maniac.
Some people play an instrument and other people don't. It's so important to find out what we feel good about doing and then practice that.
Music was one of Mr. Rogers' doorways into children's lives. He had a degree in music composition. He wrote richly complex music and lyrics, and he brought wonderful guests to his neighborhood who would sometimes change a young person's life forever.
I must have started watching Mr. Rogers when I was 4 or 5. I explicitly remember the episode where Yo-Yo Ma performed one of the Bach cello suites. That is why I started playing music. I remember being completely hypnotized by the sound of the instrument and running before the episode was over and asking my mom if I could play that.
I first met Mr. Rogers on television because my son, who was like probably 2 at that time, really, really liked the show. And so we would watch it together. Mr. Rogers was like a television parent to him, and Nicholas was always fascinated. So it was a bonding moment in the family to watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Oh, thank you for that.
Look who's here.
Nicholas. Ah, thank you.
Hey, Mr. Rogers.
Hi, Nicholas.
Hi.
Very rarely does one get to meet one's heroes, but the opportunity to be in a room with 2 heroes, with my father and with Fred, was enormously special.
Would you and your dad play something together for me? What?
The skeeter as well.
Oh, okay. I'll just stay right here and watch both of you.
Okay, Nicholas, now I haven't done this on the cello before, so you just give me...
1, 2...
Go. Very, very nice.
I think those are the only 2 times I've ever performed with my father. Once when I was 6, once when I was 16, and both on Mr. Rogers. I think only Mr. Rogers could have convinced me to do that. You are my friend, you are special. I think it's, I think it was my favorite song as a kid. I think going to visit him when I was a child was a very special memory. And so in a way, this was our way of also saying thank you.
There's only one in this wonderful world. You are special.
One of the greatest things is to be able to play together and to grow together all through life. Families, friends, all of us.
Mr. Rogers created a unique way to take his young neighbors out of the studio and into the world. He called it Picture Picture. Fred would pretend to put the film in, and often I was the guy behind there to catch it. A visit to a famous artist or a musician often came with subtle messages, like the time Fred made sure his viewers saw the world-famous violinist Itzhak Perlman walking with his crutches.
Like you know my television neighbor?
Hi there.
Mr. Itzhak Perlman.
Being in the room with Fred Rogers was fun because I knew him, you know. I mean, when you watch somebody on television all the time, you know them.
Sure.
Hello, Mr. Perlman, how are you? And I said, oh my God, Mr. Rogers is really Mr. Rogers. You know, he doesn't change.
You can do it. Mr. Perlman uses crutches to walk. So, of course, he has very strong arms. And he uses those arms to play his violin in wonderful ways. Sometimes do you ever use it to express your feelings?
Oh, well, of course. I mean, whenever you play something, you always express what you feel about the music on the violin.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Or maybe you can play something that makes you a little happier or bouncier, like a...
Yeah. It's as if it's dancing.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
He knew exactly how to make a connection and to simplify things. He was always true to who he was talking to.
Now, you've always used these crutches to walk, have
yes,
you?
Yes, yes. No, actually, I used them since I was 4 years old. You know, before I was four, I could walk without them. And then I had polio.
Uh-huh.
And I was a little bit after four, you know, 4 and 3 months. And which meant that both my legs became weakened and they need help. So I wear braces
uh-huh.
on my legs. And then I use crutches.
I always say to people that the important thing is to separate one's abilities from one's disabilities. That's very important.
Think how pleased Paganini would be to know that you were playing that after all these years.
I would hope so.
If people get used to seeing somebody who is not particularly the same way as they are, either constricted to a wheelchair or walking with crutches, if they get used to it, then it becomes nothing.
Mr. Rogers?
Hey, Jeff. I'm glad to see you.
Hi.
Thank you very much for coming by. I asked Jeff, this is my friend Jeff Erlinger. He's one of my neighbors here. And I asked him if he would come by today because I wanted you to meet him and I wanted you to see his electric wheelchair. Can you tell my friends what it is that made you need this wheelchair?
Sure. Well, when I was about 7 months old, I had a tumor, and it broke the nerves to tell my hands and legs what to do.
I see.
This just shows you have a lot of things happening to you when you're handicapped. Most of the time. But, and sometimes that happens when you're not handicapped.
Of course. But you're able to talk about those things.
Yeah.
So well and help other people
mm-hmm.
who might have the same kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure as a little kid, I watched that and became aware of another person's human struggle. And it hopefully made me want to reach out to people and think, oh, I should talk to them. They're no different. What I took from it was the look on Mr. Rogers' face of pure love, not just for him, but for everybody. It was the bar of how I would like to behave.
It's tough to make bravery both ordinary and special at the same time, and I think that's what Fred did for Jeff.
Giving Jeff that opportunity to talk openly and honestly about his disabilities on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is one of the memorable moments of children's television. Fred called it his most treasured moment.
Do you know that song that I sometimes sing called It's You I Like?
Uh-huh.
I'd like to sing that to you and with you.
Okay, sure.
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now, the way down deep inside you, not the things that
hide you,
not your fancy chair, that's just beside you, but it's you I like, every part of you, your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new. I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like, it's you yourself,
It's you. It's you. I like.
And if it's you, I like, Jeff.
Thanks.
It's really great to have a friend like that. Trolley, we're going to have some make-believe. This is what makes the trolley go fast and slowly. And this turns it on and off like that. Yeah. Neighborhood of make-believe, trolley.
The trolley going into the tunnel signaled the beginning of the make-believe part of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. It was a fairly low-tech place, very do-it-yourself, a place that encouraged children to imagine and pretend.
Just look very carefully, Your Majesty, and you will see a different kind of entertainment.
Oh, oh, how interesting. Hey.
The land of make-believe, I always thought, was just, you know, a highlight. It was enchanting. It was just fun.
That is the fabulous Flying Zucchini Brothers featuring the two women known as Peaches and Cream. I had a ball doing it. Everyone in that group worked for either Fred or for the PBS station. The thing people don't know about Fred, I think, sometimes is what a great sense of humor he had. He loved the Flying Zucchini Brothers. You never really knew what might happen in make-believe. It was a place of celebration and wonder. But Fred Rogers used it to explore life's issues.
Oh, hi, Handyman Negri. Oh, thank you for helping me with
every one of those puppets had a distinct personality, you know.
Is it hard for you to ask someone to help you?
I think it's hard for everybody sometimes.
Daniel Tiger, he was like one of the children. He was a sweetheart of the neighborhood.
I think it's very, very, very hard to wait.
Especially there was X, who was cute and funny and a good sense of humor.
What's up?
I'm up. Up in my tree.
Oh, X. You silly owl.
Yeah.
Yum, yum. Feel like celebrating.
The pussycat who was kind of scared and frightened, and you know, you had to always calm her down.
Meow would want me anyway.
Who would want you? Why, everybody wants you, Henrietta.
And there was Lady Elaine, who was a little bit tough and arrogant, but she knew it all.
Hi, sweets. This is your charming hostess, Lady Elaine Fairchild, bringing you the best of MGR TV.
It was a make-believe land with all those puppets. King Friday was, King was the ruler.
Many of the characters in the neighborhood of make-believe are puppets that I make talk.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? How do you do?
As a kid, there weren't many places where somebody walked to the other side of the set and said, oh, by the way, I made this puppet show. I'm the voice of the king. I think that was important, you know, as a kid to know, oh, you can make things. You could even make this show.
You can make up your own stories for your own neighborhood of make-believe. I imagine you have lots of good ideas.
Another groundbreaking children's television program was Sesame Street, and Fred invited Carol Spinney, the man inside Big Bird, to visit the neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in your neighborhood.
Here he comes.
Oh, here I am.
Hello, Big Bird.
Where?
Hi, Big Bird.
Oh, hello, Mr. Handyman Negri.
Fred always wanted his viewers to know how things worked, but when the script called for Spinney to remove the costume, Big Bird had to say no to his friend, Mr. Rogers.
I said, gee, I'm sorry, Fred, I cannot take off this
bird suit, particularly on television. Jim Henson never wanted to let the children know it's not a real bird. Mr. Rogers said, well, all right, then I can't have you in my little house. Instead, you'll have to be just in make-believe land.
We welcome you on this fine day and hope that you will stay and stay. Because we call you the Big Bird, we hope that you have also heard that you are really popular and nice and kind and all that.
And Mr. Rogers and Big Bird have a lot in common. Both rather sweet and nice. Because you can be sweet and nice and real, too. He was definitely one of a kind. He never talked down to the children.
Some of the things that entertain children can also frighten them. So he always tried to pull back the curtain to reveal the truth, like how Margaret Hamilton became the Wicked Witch of the West.
It was hard work, probably, making that movie.
Yes, it was. It was lots of hard work. My hands were all green.
And then, that was makeup.
Yes, that was just all makeup. And then the face, too, you see.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Sometimes, Mr. Rogers, I'm a little unhappy because lots of children are quite scared, but when you realize it's just pretend,
yes,
and that everybody can do it, you can do it. And little boys, as you say, do it. Little girls do it.
Think, what will we say? Witches aren't real.
Witches aren't real, even if they seem to be.
That's my skirt.
Witches aren't real. Witches aren't real.
It's helping me just to see you get into these things.
Witches aren't real. Witches aren't real.
Oh, yes, there's the cape.
Oh, she transforms already. See? Oh, wow.
For you and me.
Not for Henrietta.
Oh, that would be fun to be able to talk like that.
When I first see her, she looks like a grandmother. She looks so nice. And the second she puts on the skirt, I go back to my childhood and I'm scared again. And then she does the laugh. And to hear her say, it's just pretend, that's very powerful. And that gives permission then to say it's okay. But let me try that. What would it be like if I tried and your little dog, too?
You and me.
Witches aren't real.
Not witches even aren't real.
They aren't real.
They really aren't.
When you see witches on television, they're always pretend. When you're growing up, it's an important thing to be able to tell the difference between what's pretend and what's real.
You know what I love about him? He never lied to kids. He leaned right into it, and he always told us the truth.
Come on over with me, okay? And we'll see a film about when you were born.
Life can get serious even when you're under 5. And Fred Rogers knew it helped to talk about it. He called it important talk. And right here on public television, he was willing to talk with children about such things as death, divorce, and birth.
Such a fine boy. Yes. Let's just look right over picture, picture. Now this is Jimmy's mother. You see, the mother has a special opening where her kittens will come out.
So great for kids to see this. Oh, wow.
Here's one being born now. He looks wet, doesn't he? But after his mother licks him, he'll get all dry and fluffy. And as soon as he's able, the kitten will look for one of his mother's nipples and be able to drink her milk. And there's the newborn kitten, little Jimmy.
Okay.
My grandfather let me watch his cat give birth to her kittens. I was thinking about my grandfather when I made up that song about wondering. You know, the one called Did You Know That It's All Right to Wonder?
I'm gonna cry.
Did you know? Did you know? Did you know that it's all right to wonder? Did you know that it's all right to wonder? There are all kinds of wonderful things. Did you know? Did you know? Did you know that it's all right to marvel? There are all kinds of marvelous things. You can ask a lot of questions about the world and your place in it.
He's even, I think, speaking to adults there. You know, your kids are going to wonder about this stuff.
The limit. Did you know?
His view was that anything that can be talked about is manageable, right? And he's trying to make the birth of a kitten mentionable.
Marvelously wonderful thing.
The first thing I remember learning from Mr. Rogers is if I can only be brave enough to talk about it, then it's going to be okay.
When I was very young, I had a dog that I loved very much. Her name was Mitzi. Mm-hmm. And she got to be old, and she died. And when she died, I cried. Sometimes people get sad, and they really do feel bad. But the very same people who are sad sometimes...
That's just beautiful.
...are the very same people who are glad sometimes.
He just says, don't feel bad when you have to cry.
It's the same, isn't it, for me? Isn't it the same for you?
You can't really say just how much that helps a child, whether they actually use that as a tool, but at least he's putting it out there.
Are there things that make you angry? Do you have ways of showing you're angry? Ways that don't hurt you or anybody else? What do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite? When the whole wide world seems oh so wrong and nothing you do seems very right?
Mr. Rogers often talked about how you can express and deal with emotions in healthy ways through music. That's why he had musicians in the studio every day, led by the great jazz pianist Johnny Costa, underscoring what was going on. Most of Fred's songs were about feelings, and they came from the heart and the mind of a musical master.
They're very gentle songs, but they're delightful songs. Watching them, I imagine myself a little child, subject to temper tantrums, as all little children are.
It's great to be able to stop when you've planned a thing that's wrong and be able to do something else instead and think this song.
And he sings them frequently. Kids need to hear songs over and over again.
Know that there's something deep inside that helps us become what we can. For a girl can be someday a woman, and a boy can be someday a man. And that's important. You know it's important, don't you?
Mr. Rogers was on at that time of day where families could come together and did come together. My mother always said that he would bring up issues that I had been thinking of and not shared with my parents, and that in watching it together, we would talk about those.
I know a little girl and a little boy whose mother and father got a divorce, and those children cried and cried. You know why? Well, one reason was that they thought it was all their fault. But of course, it wasn't their fault.
It's simply addressing the things that kids do think about.
And it didn't hurt at all.
What didn't hurt?
Getting adopted.
Oh, no. Getting adopted doesn't hurt. It's just another way people have of saying, I love you.
And just let them know there's somebody who acknowledges that. It's really magic. And I can't think of any example of any other children's entertainer that does that. It's so far beyond just entertainment.
Oh, there's somebody at the door. Somebody we love, Mr. McFeely. Come in, Mr. McFeely.
Speedy delivery, speedy delivery.
Mr. Rogers had one neighbor who visited more than anyone else, Mr. McFeely, hardworking, often out of breath postal delivery man who brought the films that introduced children to many things around the world.
If there's anything you want, if there's anything you need, McFeely's delivery brings it to you here with speed. Yes, sir, speedy.
I played Mr. McFeely, the speedy delivery man, for 50 years. Fred knew I couldn't sing. But a lot of people don't realize the sense of humor he had. We had a great time doing those scenes.
Speedy delivery to you. Speedy delivery, there you go.
Thank you, Mr. McFeely.
The films that I brought, I was, as Mr. McFeely, supposedly out in the neighborhood watching all of the factory processes.
Look at it on picture-picture, how people make peanut butter, how spoons are made, bagels.
That's right.
Guitars. Bicycle helmets.
Already.
He said, let's tell children they aren't magically made by themselves. Those machines don't think up how to make them. It takes a person to make anything.
Here we watch it.
As a tiny kid, you don't know how anything is made. You know, so if you're four and Mr. Rogers goes to the crayon factory, that's the first time you ever realize, like, oh, people make this. There's a machine involved. There's a man or a woman working on it.
Did you ever play with dolls when you were a little girl, Helen? Did you?
When a child sees how an instrument is made, it's golden.
There was a trumpet one. Yes, the radio flyer one. It was everything.
Many of these small family-owned factories are gone, but they're saved forever in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
My father had a harmonica factory. Mr. McFeely came in person, and my dad helped show how harmonicas are made.
There are all kinds of wonderful, all kinds of marvelous, marvelously wonderful things.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Bye, Fred.
Goodbye.
You find the best things to show us, Mr. McFeely.
Well, I love my speedy delivery business.
Out of 900 episodes, Mr. Rogers' visit to Coco the Gorilla was one of his favorites. Coco had learned sign language from a dedicated animal psychologist, Penny Patterson.
Where's Mr. Rogers?
Peek-a-boo.
Bear!
Where am I? Peek-a-boo.
You need another peek-a-boo?
Where's Coco?
Where's Coco?
Coco was so fascinating to me.
Where is she?
She really wanted to sit on his lap, but she understood that she was too heavy. Her trainer told her that, you know, she should sit down by him. So she did. She was interested in mostly in comparing them. It just amazed me that he was able to keep us cool. I didn't go, but Fred told me about it, and I wish I had been.
Love you, he said. Oh. Love you, visit, love.
Oh.
Well, that was very nice.
Thank you, Coco.
That's Coco's way of saying love you. She really has feelings for people and things. I remember near the end of our visit, we just sat and looked at each other.
I would like to play A Minuet 3 by Bach.
Okay, we want to hear it.
Mm-hmm, we sure do.
Mr. Rogers felt it was important to introduce children who had a particular talent to inspire his young viewers to work hard at something they like to do.
What do you think about children who might be listening to you and have that idea, maybe I could do that?
Well, I guess they would be very proud of themselves. I guess that would be their very best choice, and they would have fun playing.
Mr. Rogers, he's not even looking at the fingers. He's just looking at his face. He's like reading what's going on inside Nick's head. Doesn't look at the keyboard one time. I love that because he's focused so completely on the experience for Nick, not the outcome, not the notes, not the right hand or the left hand or the memorization. It's the experience that that child is having and that music provides.
Here you are, a violinist and a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
That's your art. You started to play, though, when you were a very little girl.
Actually, the first thing that I learned was how to bow.
How to bow?
Yeah, when you go out on stage, when people are clapping, and you walk out on stage, and then you bow to the audience like this.
What a beautiful picture to show young people.
Thank you
for that.
That was an affirmation that little girls can grow up and be musicians, instrumentalists. When I saw that, it just drove home even deeper the gratitude that I have for that show. You know, showing what's possible.
We love you. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Mr. Rogers liked to show his television neighbors the wonders of a world full of people who do interesting things. Everywhere he went, he was like a curious child who loved to learn new things, and as his visit with the Empire Brass Quintet shows, he could teach and learn at the same time. This first one is called a tuba. This one is a French horn. This one is a trumpet. And this one is a slide trombone. And these people are some men that I know who really have fun with their music. Now you're going to see all five of the quintet playing.
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
Oh, good. Wish I knew how to do that.
Well, how would you like to try to do it?
Be glad to try.
Well, come on. Good. Sure, sit in the tuba chair.
All right.
But in order to get sound, you blow through buzzing lips.
Oh, that makes your lips tickle.
You know that? That willingness to show himself trying something like blowing the tuba and not succeeding right away and being totally okay with it. It's so all right. It's so all right that it deserves to be on television.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
You can't learn without making mistakes. And Fred wasn't afraid to show that mistakes are part of learning. Like when folk singer Ella Jenkins tried to teach one of her playground rhymes. She made it look too easy.
Oh. Head and shoulders, baby, one, two, three. Head and shoulders, baby, one, two, three. Head and shoulders, head and shoulders, head and shoulders, baby, one.
Now, if that happened on a movie set, you might hear the director say, let's try that again, take two. But Fred, knowing it was important to show children that some things are hard to learn, said, no, let's leave that in.
Two, three, ankles and toes, baby, one, two, three.
And the way we used to end it was like this. That's all, baby, one, two, three. That's all, baby, one, two, three.
Head and shoulders, baby, one, two.
This one down here was a real horn. Knees and ankles, baby, one, two.
I like to learn things, don't you? And there's so much in this world we can learn, no matter how young or how old we are.
The great Tony Bennett wasn't only a legendary singer. He was also a painter, and he showed off his skills as an artist in Lady Elaine's television studio. He serenaded her with a song that Mr. Rogers wrote to help children know that it's natural that we sometimes want to do something and sometimes we don't.
Sometimes I don't feel like combing my hair. I don't feel like washing my face. Sometimes I don't feel like saying okay. But sometimes isn't always.
That's the truth.
Sometimes.
You like to draw, do you?
Oh, I love it, yes.
I've heard you many times in concert and all, and you surely sing well.
You have beautiful blue eyes.
What is that you're drawing?
Oh, I'm drawing you. Didn't you know that?
It'll be a Tony Bennett original of Lady Elaine Fairchild.
But sometimes isn't always.
Sometimes. Tony Bennett was the perfect straight man to the over-the-top flirting of Lady Elaine.
I love the way you're dancing.
Okay.
I don't feel like getting.
But what I really like about the scene is to think that under that desk, crouched down into a small little cubby, it was Fred Rogers who voiced the puppet.
Hello, friends. My name's Lady Elaine Fairchild.
And did those fabulous dance moves.
It isn't always.
Sometimes.
Fred had a real playful side that all of us on the crew did our best to encourage.
But sometimes, wait a minute, isn't always.
Isn't always.
Isn't always. One more time.
Isn't always.
Always. Always.
Bennett. Tony Bennett right here with us at MGR TV. Likes us so well, he's singing 100 of his favorite tunes.
Oh, there's Officer Clemons. Hi, Officer Clemons. Come in.
Mr. Rogers, how are you?
Fine, won't you sit down?
You probably don't think of Fred Rogers as a civil rights activist, but he was one in a major but subtle way. He heard Francois Clemens sing at a church in Pittsburgh and in 1968 asked him to play a policeman on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Clemens told him, I grew up in the ghetto and I don't have a positive opinion of police officers, but Mr. Rogers saw it as an opportunity to teach an important lesson of equality and respect. One of the most unforgettable moments in the neighborhood was the day Mr. Rogers asked Officer Clemens to cool his tired feet in a wading pool in the front yard of his house.
That feels great.
They soaked their feet together, and Mr. Rogers helped dry the policeman's feet when he was finished.
Can I help you here?
Thank you.
The meaning was unmistakable.
All ready?
Francois played Officer Clemens for over 25 years, one of the first African Americans to have a recurring role on a children's television series. Francois was also a trained classical singer, and Mr. Rogers often asked him to share his wonderful tenor voice with his television neighbors.
Singing is one of my ways of saying I love you.
Oh, I know that. Do you have time to give a song to my friend and me?
I sure do. There are many ways to say I love you. You'll find many ways to understand what love is. Many ways, many ways, many ways to say I love you.
I was thinking last time we were together that every person in the whole world is different from everybody else, and yet we can still love each other. Because the most important things about us are inside of us. So even if we look different and sound different and smell different on the outside, we're all human beings and have our human thoughts and feelings inside.
I looked over Jordan, Lord, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. Oh,
remember, it's what's inside of us that matters most. Well, it's what's inside of him that helps him sing his song so wonderfully.
A band of angels were coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Oh, coming for to carry me home. Oh, sweet, oh, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Oh, I love your singing.
You know, Fred is still with us. He's with us on film. He's with us in our memories.
You know, things like friendship and love don't cost any money at all, and they're very, very important.
I'm just so deeply grateful that he has been in our lives and continues to be in our lives.
Fortunately, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood continues on many public television stations and their websites. And happily, the legacy of Mr. Rogers' pioneering programs live on in Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day.
Where a new generation of kids can learn key social skills for school and for life.
Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood follows right on with Fred's Neighborhood of Make-Believe and who Daniel was.
It's such a good feeling to play with family and friends. It's such a happy feeling.
It's fun for children, good for children. It pleases me so much to know what a success it's having.
Because it's you I like.
You always make each day a special day for me. You know how. By just your being you. There's only one person in this whole world like you, and people can like you exactly as you are. I'll be back next time. Bye.
You see what I mean?
He looks right at you.
The beauty of what he did so well, I feel like he's talking directly to me.
My daughter, my oldest daughter, said, "That's Mr. Rogers. I love him. He's my best friend."
In his eyes and in his voice and in the pace, I feel that genuine love that this man had and shared with the world.
It makes you feel good that there's a sweet guy and he puts on his sweater and he tells you how to be a good person. Those were just, you know, pure pleasure moments as a little kid.
Mr. Rogers and some of my best therapists, you know, really shaped who I am as a person. And Mr. Rogers continues to make me want to be the best person I can be.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood inspired all of us to be better. Better parents, better children, better people. We all gained self-confidence and self-esteem just by watching him. He made us believe that each of us is special, and so is everyone else. So thank you, Mr. Rogers, for every beautiful day in the neighborhood.
This is a song that I like to sing to people that I really care for. Maybe you know it. It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now. The way down deep inside you. Not the things that hide you. Not your toys. They're just beside you. But it's you I like. Every part of you. Your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new. I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like, it's you yourself. It's you, it's you, I like you yourself, just the way you are. It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling you're growing inside. And when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day. Snap. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling, the feeling you know that I'll be back when the day is new, and I'll have more ideas for you, and you'll have things you'll want to talk about. I will too. You always make it a special time for me by just your being yourself. I like you just the way you are. I'll be back next week. Bye.
Explore new worlds and new ideas through programs like this. Made available for everyone through contributions to your PBS station from viewers like you. Thank you.
Be more. PBS.